At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. We begin with Starship, Boca Chica, Elon Musk, and ambition for what comes next after the spectacular fifth test. Bob, a very good evening to you. What about Starship and that gantry called Chopsticks? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, the Tower Chopsticks successfully caught Super Heavy last weekend's fifth test launch in probably the most spectacular engineering test achievement I have ever seen in my life, anyone has ever seen. And even the SpaceX people were, I think, shocked that they succeeded so well. So Elon Musk announced shortly thereafter that the company is going to attempt to do the same thing with Starship, and he quote, hopefully early next year. This is typical of Musk. He's setting a realistic but early target date, which means they might not make the target date, but they won't be far from it. And it also puts pressure so that they all work harder to get to that early date. The idea, of course, is to bring Starship down, have it be caught by the chopstick arms on the launch tower to speed relaunching for quick reusability like an airline. Now, to get that done in early 25 is going to take, it can't happen on the next flight or the flight after that. SpaceX has got to do two things in space with Starship first before it's going to take the risk of bringing Starship back down to the to a planned location. And that's, the FAA is going to restrict them, but SpaceX would do it anyway. They first have to test the Raptor engines in orbit. They have to restart them. They haven't done this yet. So, you know, the engines take it into orbit. But at that point, they turn the engines off. And on all the previous test flights, they have never restarted those Raptor engines. They were going to do it on one of the earlier missions, but they did not for a variety of reasons. In order to, you have to test that because when you're in orbit, you're going to have to fire those engines a second time to deorbit the spacecraft to a precise location. So they got to prove they can restart those engines. That's the first thing. And they won't be in an orbit, a full orbit, when they do that. So they won't be able to come back to a precise place. And by the way, they got to show that they restart the engines and bring it back to a precise location. Once they do that, they're then going to have to go into an orbit and prove that those engines can deorbit the Starship to a precise location from an orbit to a precise location in the ocean. Once they've demonstrated that, they can then proceed to try to do a chopstick landing. So that's going to take at least two more flights, and I should point out that to do that early next year, SpaceX is going to have to establish a launch base, a test launch base of probably every 1 to 2 months. And this is what Elon Musk has been wanting to do now for 2 years, but the FAA has stood in the way. So what? It's a question, will the FAA let him do the launch base he's wanted to do, he's capable, the company is capable of doing, and the FAA has prevented him from doing. And that's really where the issue is. This is not technical that's going to slow this down. It's going to be the bureaucracy and the red tape.
The Space Force asked Musk to launch from California's coast, Vandenberg Air Base. And there is an objection, and Musk goes to court. Where is it, Bob?
This is just Elon Musk fulfilling a promise he made over the weekend. Last week, the California Coastal Commission voted to reject the Space Force's proposal to increase the launch rate of the Starship of Falcon 9 out of Vandenberg in California. Now, the Coastal Commission has no authority to do this, but they rejected the proposal. The Space Force was just simply, as it has done for decades, working with the Coastal Commission so that everyone can be happy. But it has no, the Coastal Commission has no authority over it, and if a military base, it has, the state cannot regulate it. The issue here and why SpaceX is suing is because the commissioners made it clear they were not voting against this launch rate increase because it might damage the coast. They were voting against it because they just disagreed with Elon Musk's political positions. They don't like the fact that he's endorsed Donald Trump, and he tweets about it, and he's trying to help Republicans get elected. They don't like that. How dare he have a political opposition? We don't have something like freedom of speech in the United States. And so they voted against him. Well, Elon Musk and SpaceX has now sued. And this is probably going to be one of the easiest lawsuits in the world. And they sued these commissioners personally. They're liable for defying both the companies and Elon Musk's First Amendment rights, and also exceeding their statutory authority, because the law that created the California Coastal Commission expressly excludes their regulation of military bases. I repeat, the Space Force has always worked with the Coastal Commission so that any conflicts or problems they might have environmentally can be worked out, so they're both happy, but they're not under their authority. But they tried to become authoritative, and they don't have that right, and it'll be fun to watch this case go to court.
Airbus cuts 2,500 jobs in its space defense divisions. Where is Airbus in space, Bob?
Airbus has a joint partnership with a company called Safran in Europe to build the Ariane 6 rocket. They also do a bunch of other stuff, major stuff for the European Space Agency. They're having problems right now with Ariane 6 because it's not competitive, it's too expensive, and so they're not getting the customers they thought they would. And I think that's the issue here, and it has to do with the fact that they designed Ariane 6 a decade ago to not be reusable, even though it was evidently clear in 2015 that reusability was the way of the future and the only way to be competitive was to be reusable. They had an opportunity in 2015 to go for reusability then, and they would have a reusable rocket now had they done that. They did not, and so no one wants to buy the Ariane 6, and it's a problem, and I think that's one of the reasons they're cutting jobs right now, John.
And we go to Boeing, another job cutter, but its troubles are with its union. However, Starliner is what we've watched. This is the troubled man craft that Boeing was hired by NASA to build. Where is Starliner?
Before the last manned demo mission was launched, NASA was saying that if that demo mission was great, went worked perfectly, next year in 25, SpaceX would do one manned mission early in the year, and then Starliner would do the second manned mission in July. That's what they've been saying. They had been saying for a while, but now NASA has revealed that both manned missions next year are likely going to be on a Dragon capsule, which means they have not yet agreed to certify Starliner for manned operational missions. And the reason, of course, is because Starliner went up with two astronauts but came back unmanned because of questions of the thrusters. I suspect what's going on here is that NASA wants Boeing to do another demo mission of some kind to prove Starliner is safe. And Boeing is now telling them it can't afford to do it, it won't do it. And so they're negotiating possibly, and this is rumors have said this, and I believe it's true, they're negotiating NASA paying Boeing to do a cargo mission to ISS using Starliner. And that will give Boeing some cash to do that additional demo mission, and NASA will get some payoff from it, including cargo. The problem is that deal, I think, won't come to fruition until after the election, because I think it's too politically hot potato for them to do it before this election. They're going to wait till afterwards.
All right, we push that aside and we go to the big news, Bob. Axiom has a new spacesuit. All right, Musk might catch Super Heavy, the largest rocket ever to take off from the planet Earth, but NASA has a new spacesuit. What does it look like, Bob?
The thing about this spacesuit that's important to me, John, is that it's Axiom is unveiled. That Axiom got a contract from NASA 2 years ago to build a spacesuit for about $250 million, $228 million. And so in 2 years, they've now released their design for this spacesuit in 2 years. And that means they're ready to start construction of the suit. The reason I point this out is this is private enterprise, John. NASA spent previously 14 years and more than $1 billion to create PowerPoint presentations of its proposed spacesuit. And finally, 2 years ago, it threw that in the garbage, realizing it was incompetent and couldn't do it. And so it gave it to private enterprises. So even though this is only a spacesuit, it's not landing a rocket, catching a rocket as it lands. This is a demonstration of private enterprise doing things well. And yes, the Axiom worked in partnership with the fashion company Prada to do this, but the real, that's just PR. The real issue is that it seems to be a smartly designed suit, practical and efficient to use at a reasonable cost.
All right, we'll leave it alone until we get it on the runway and we can examine it as a fashion plate. Astrolab, an unmanned rover for where?
This has to do with, this is a complicated story, but Astrolab is one of the three companies NASA has signed to develop manned lunar rovers from their Artemis program. Astrolab has now announced that it's developing a small prototype unmanned rover. It's unveiled it, and it's designing it, and it wants to get it launched on Astrobotics' Griffin Lander. This is a different company. Now, Astrobotics' Griffin Lander was originally supposed to bring NASA's Viper rover to the moon. But NASA's canceled the Viper mission because it was over budget and behind schedule. Gee, a government agency over budget and behind schedule. John, have I mentioned that previously? I don't think I have. Anyway, so Astrolab decided, why don't we do a smaller version of our rover as a test prototype and try to arrange with Astrobotic to get it launched on that Griffin mission. And so that's what the negotiations are going on. It hasn't been decided, but this is what they're proposing, and they're in a good position to get that on Griffin. They're going to have to work out a deal with Astrobotic, but, you know, it's a good idea on their part.
Sierra Space has a NASA contract, not for Dream Chaser, but for a trash compactor. What's a trash compactor in space?
It's a trash can, just like you have in your kitchen, John. The idea is to reduce the volume of your trash. In space, the trash gets accumulated into a cargo vessel that's going to burn up in the ocean, but it can get bulky. So a trash compactor will save space. In addition, the trash compactor that Sierra Space is going to do will try to recover all the water within the trash for reuse. And this is an example of private enterprise once again. NASA's not building this trash compactor. It's hired a private company to come up with the design. Sierra Space will own the trash compactor, and it's going to design it so that it can be put into any space station, like an appliance. It'll be able to put into any space station or any spacecraft or any interplanetary spacecraft, to compact trash. So they're basically, this is an appliance company building an appliance for interplanetary travel in the future, John, and it's kind of cool.
Dishwashers, dryers in combination with washer machines. I understand, Bob. All right, we're going to NASA. The old version of NASA is phasing out a constellation of what?
Since the 80s, NASA has had a constellation of satellites called the TDRS satellites, which it has used to communicate with ISS and with any in-orbit operation, climate satellites, Earth observation satellites, communicate anything in orbit, they would use this TDRS communication system to communicate. So you have a global communication, you'd be able to contact ISS at any time. NASA has now announced that beginning in November, it's going to begin to phase out the TDRS communication constellation satellite. Old missions will still use it, but all future missions are going to use commercial satellites instead for their communications and data transmission. This is in Earth orbit. This is not talking about planetary missions. In 22, NASA actually issued contracts to six communication satellite companies to provide this service. That included Inmarsat, SES, SpaceX, Telsat, Viasat, and Kuiper. Five of those six companies have satellites in orbit and can provide this service. Kuiper has not yet, but it eventually will. And so this is basically capitalism in space. NASA's no longer going to build it. It's going to ask private enterprise to provide the service. It'll get a better service, faster, cheaper, and quicker.
Bob Zimmerman, the website is Behind the Black, going exploring. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.